Welcome back to the CCA California podcast. Good to be with you. Tony, I feel like it's been about a month since we were last in this room, sitting in these chairs, speaking into these mics. How are you?
Yeah, I had to dust off the microphone a little bit. It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah. We had a little technical difficulties with the cameras, but all is good. But overall, you know, a successful show season. We haven't really spoken too much on that. We will eventually, but it wasn't easy, but it wasn't as brutal as I was expecting, if that makes sense.
Nice to know you had high expectations here, Chris.
Yeah. But anyway, Tony's got a message from our good friends at Fishing Syndicate.
Here at CCA, we are syndicated. Fishing Syndicate offers one of the best lineups of premium fishing rods designed, prepared, and built by fishermen for anglers of all ages. That's you. The FS passion shows in each one of their quality products. They design and build quality products that meet and exceed the desires and demands of all anglers, which provide maximum strength, confidence, and long-term reliability when you're out fishing. From trout to cow bluefin tuna, there's an FS rod that'll meet your needs at a very affordable price. Don't forget, custom orders, they're available too. Visit fishingsyndicate.com to check out the lineup or visit the shop in La Habra Tuesdays through Saturdays. And don't forget to grab some FS swag as well. Get syndicated.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. And without further ado, we've got a great friend of ours, Nick Kelly from West Coast Marine. Nick, welcome to the podcast, man. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, good morning. I know we last saw you at PCS. I mean, epic of a show. That goes without saying. But how was the show for you guys?
The show felt great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of good people there, a lot of good vendors.
Right in your backyard.
Yep, right in the backyard. So easy setup, easy takedown. Yeah, we had a blast. Turned out really well.
You know, it must be for you at West Coast Marine, I can't imagine how many trips you had to take to and from the OC Fairgrounds just with all those boats.
I can. It was about 13.
Oh, my gosh. With it being so close, it still doesn't amount to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me.
What's the process like getting the boat, all those boats out there? Like the setup time, how early are you there? It has to be quite the operation.
Yeah, if the show started Thursday, we were getting ready the Friday before because it's washing boats, making sure those are dialed in, putting them on trailers that they need to be on, swapping boats, and then it's back and forth, a lot of forklift driving and setting all those up and stairs and all that equipment. So it's a process.
Do you drive more vehicles to tow boats or do you drive forklifts more often for just show setup?
Trucks probably. PCS has great crew there for with the forklifts, and they're on it, so it's really easy.
Nice. Well, you know, before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you end up at West Coast and all that stuff, the Nick Kelly story?
That's could be a long story, so I'll keep it short.
It's all good. It's all good. We have all day.
Going on my 16th year. It'll be 16 years in July 21st. So we started in 2008. In a small garage in Costa Mesa, and it was a cousin of mine who was in the industry, and then had another partner and myself. So the three of us, small garage, started working on Yamaha motors, bottom painting boats, did a lot of that kind of grunt work at the very beginning. And then we kind of grew to where we are today with Yamaha selling Yamaha repowers, the Parker boat side. My uncle picked up Parker in 2010 or 11. And then we kind of joined forces under the same roof. And then he passed away a couple of years ago. And then that's when I picked up the Parker line and kept that going. So that's kind of the short of it. But there's, you know, been a lot of ups and downs in between that time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How big of a deal is it to pick up, say, a Parker or a Camus or a Yamaha for a boat dealer?
So getting Yamaha took two years. They started seeing we were buying engines from other places, rigging them and servicing a lot of motors. And they're pretty protective about their dealerships and how far away you have to be to become a dealer. Mm-hmm. So it took a couple of years to get in with them. And then with Parker, that was pretty fun because in 2010, I was servicing a lot of Parkers in our area, a lot. And that was at a time where the economy was down. And my uncle wasn't doing much, and his name was Kevin. So Kevin, I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, if we're servicing a lot of Parkers, we might think about, you know, Parker dealership, because there wasn't one at that time. Mm-hmm. They had been through Blue Porpoise down in San Diego, and then they were in Mission Bay, I believe. And then there was a time period where they weren't really around, and then we picked them up. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun going to, we flew back east to North Carolina and met with Linwood Parker in, yeah, again, 2010-11, and just started talking to him. And he was just the salt of the earth kind of guy, and we got along great. And it was just kind of one of those handshake deals. Was great. If you want to do it, I'll send you some boats and let's give it a shot. So Kevin did a really good job building that, the Parker dealership. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. I mean, Parker has been a, like basically a household brand for years and years and years here out in the West Coast. And, you know, I can't think, or I can't help but to think your uncle probably was a big part of that in terms of trying to get Parker out, you know, every now, or it seems like almost every private boat now is a Parker, or any of the four pack boats out of San Diego is a Parker and all that.
Yeah. Kevin was huge into, getting those guys their boats. I mean, he did a really good job, and his customer service was really good. And he's just a nice guy to deal with. So mm-hmm. it was easy to kind of, when he passed, to just kind of try to continue that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the most popular model out here on the West Coast?
It has been the 2320, I would say.
23.
Sold the most over the years, mm-hmm. for sure. And then that boat's going away, and it's the new 24.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so 23 is going away. The new 2420 is going to take its place. And fully redesigned hull, new stringer systems, new cabin. So it's a neat boat.
Nice. It's out available now, or is that coming?
No, I have one at the shop right now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's ready.
What kind of trends have you noticed, let's say, like over the last 10 years, as far as the fishery is concerned, and what people's needs and what they want the boat used for? Do you think our fishery off the coast has kind of impacted people's decisions on the kind of Parker, the kind of boat that they want?
The cabin boats have always been popular. We've always put a bait tank in the cockpit. And then we started, and the Bluefin were kind of showing up at that point, right when we picked Parker up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then it's just been the same for the last 14, 15 years now. People just want, they like that 23, 25. Obviously the 28 is just an amazing platform.
Yeah.
And you just slam an 85-gallon bait tank in there and you're pretty much ready
to
go.
What else do you need?
If you want like electric reel setups and stuff like that, then you can certainly add all that equipment to do that. Mm-hmm. Towers and half towers. Half towers have been very popular. I think the driver of the boat likes to have his little rig right up there next to him. So yeah. I personally like that the most because I find myself driving a lot more than actually fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't that suck?
It does. But like my first love is like outboards and boats. So okay. I actually, like as a kid, I was driving my uncle's boat like 100% of the time. And fishing was just like something that came with it. But I was more into staring at prop wash, listening to motors. Like that is...
You wanted the mechanics of it.
I don't know what it is. I love that. And like funny story about that. Like, so when I was 8 or 9, I still have the picture. And it was around Halloween. And my dad was like, hey, what do you want to be for Halloween? And I thought about it. And I was like, God, I just really want to be an outboard engine. So at about 9 years old, we set up a box around me, painted it black with a blue stripe, like the old school Mercs. And I was a racing Merc 300.
No kidding.
And I had this little box tailing off the back end. That's funny. We cut a paper plate and put foil around it as the prop.
We need that picture for the profile on this one.
I've got it. I have it up.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Isn't that funny? Oh, man. So if I had known then, you know,
yeah.
What I wanted to do, I just love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to spend hours in a dinghy in Catalina, and they couldn't get me out of the dinghy because I was just circling the boat all day. I wouldn't get out of it.
Wow. That's awesome.
I know. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, obviously driving boats you're pretty good at and everything, how are the mechanics? Did you always, you know, have that kind of love servicing engines as well?
Yeah, it was weird, like going to school, playing a lot of sports, like I was always doing that. I didn't really know how to get into that. Like my dad was an engineer and mm-hmm. had a big company. And so I wasn't really like tearing into things at a young age. I just knew I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I was always out on the boat and I had a lot of freedom to go like use boats. And we've always had little boats and whalers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I loved it. And then kind of you just get into the role of school and sports. And then I went to college and I was like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing in college, but you know, I did my best and passed that. But during college, I found myself going to the local community college and taking like diesel classes.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And I was like, this is, sounds more up my alley.
Yeah.
And in the summer of college in 06 or 07, I went and got my captain's license and I was like, this is something I want to do. I want to go drive boats. I want to drive a tugboat. So I was checking all that out and figuring mm-hmm. out where I wanted to go. And then after college, I graduated and this kind of fell in my lap. My cousin's like, hey, we should start a service yard. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do that. That sounds fun.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So you had mentioned that you you took some diesel mechanic classes in college and all that stuff. How do you kind of see it nowadays to where if someone wanted to get into your industry, would you go and recommend that route in particular or would you go recommend a different route?
It's a good question. I don't know. There's those classes, Marine Mechanics Institute, UTI, I think they're mm-hmm. mainly on the East Coast. And those are like, I think 6 month classes, but I haven't looked into any of this stuff, but,
is there like a difference between like studying it in a classroom versus just actually getting in the yard and getting your hands dirty and actually doing it?
Absolutely. So I would tell anybody who is interested in it, go find the shop, mm-hmm. work there. Even if it's during high school or something like that, I mean, you're not going to get paid much. You're just not.
Yeah.
But if you really like it, you can stick with it. And then that shop, like for me, we have mechanics that we send to school and I'm sending them every year. Mm-hmm. And that's not the requirement. It's every other year, but I like to send the guys out every single year. It's week-long classes. But to answer your question, like hands-on is always going to be the best. And that's how I learned. Mm-hmm. And then it's important just to have a good mentor. And like, I had a really great mentor when I first started and he was my partner and he was like integral to getting me where I am today and making me feel comfortable and learning all that, those ins and outs of the motors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When, that's interesting. So, as far as the sending your guys to school or to the week long training, is that required by the state or by Parker or Yamaha or anything?
Yamaha requires Yamaha. That. Yeah. So at a certain level, they want you to send, you have to have trained techs. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you have to send them to school.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. And that just kind of just comes with, being a Yamaha dealer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's important. You do learn a lot, but again, in a class setting, you know, when you're breaking down a motor or lower unit or something like that, everything comes off pretty dang easy in a class.
Yeah.
But in real life, everything's stuck.
Well, so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. If, you know, for a high quality product, you want the guys that are certified every single year, even though they don't have to be.
It's important. And then they feel good about it. You get a certificate. Yeah. They're stoked. They went. Feel like they learned something. I'm investing in them. And to me, when I was getting sent to school, I loved going to school. It was mm-hmm. a blast. And you do come out with, you know, you feel better.
Do you yourself go back to school every year?
I haven't been in a couple of years, but I have gone every year, every other year up until probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And now I would love to. It was one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
But I'll probably go again, but it's now I'm finding my time spent on other things.
Yeah, yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, I'll invest in the guys.
That's cool. So, you know, we talked about Parker. We talked. You're pretty much a Yamaha dealership, right? No other motors or whatnot. You also brought on Camus too.
Yeah, and that was kind of a similar way that we picked up Parker. I was just asking around. I have some friends that have big dealerships on the East Coast that have been really good mentors to me. Mm-hmm. And I was asking about bringing in another line of boats that would be fun for our coast and another line of boat. Like I didn't really want another just day boat or your entry level boat. And in thinking about that, I was talking to a friend of mine and he's like, God, he had Camus and that was on my radar. And mm-hmm. I asked him, I was like, what do you think of those? And he said, they're the best. He mm-hmm. said, Earl Bentz that started that company is phenomenal. He's one of the nicest guys. Just if you want to talk to him, I'll call him and tell him you're coming. And that's just exactly how it went. So about a year ago, just flew out there, met Earl Bentz and the guys, toured the factory, and it was immediate. I was like, this is something I was super interested in.
Yeah. What goes into a decision like that to have the decision to bring on another brand that you have to sell out of your dealership?
A little bit of crazy, not thinking correctly, throwing yourself out on a limb and just hoping that it works. Thinking what I think is neat and a neat product, hoping that other people will find it interesting and usable as well. Mm-hmm. And other than that, it's a prayer and just kind of going for it, you know?
What makes it like that? Like it just has to sell, or you're bound to basically numbers at this point, or is it just, you know, basically just stocking another brand?
Yeah. So you buy the boat, you order the boat. We order boats in end of summer, early fall, and kind of you pick the models that you think will work and sell. And then the factory, you sign the contract and the factory just starts making the boat and, you know, gives you a list of when they'll get started and be finished. And you start sending them out. So you got to find a guy to bring them out for you. And other than that, you just go for it.
Yeah. Well, I know a beloved fisherman friend of ours, friend of all of ours, Benny Florentino, just got into a brand new Camus, which his boat is absolutely sick, which I know you've been on it. You've shown it. I got to ask from an insider perspective, how is that boat? Because we're going fishing on it in September.
Oh, good. Yeah. So the 26, when I was looking at Camus, I was trying to think of ways to build that side, that brand. And I knew I don't have the time to do it properly. So who can I surround myself with that's well-respected, that would want to do it? And Benny's name came up and I asked him and he said, yeah, Camus is one of the top three on my radar if I'm going to do something else. He said, well, let's get you a 26 and I'll fly you out to the factory and we'll go check it out and then you can make your decision. And that's exactly what we did. So flew Benny out and met the guys at Camus, and he was on board right from seeing the factory. I think he was really interested. And then having been on the boat and taking it out, I think he had a pretty rough day last Friday because we've been trying to find a day where it was not pleasant out. And he called just elated and said, I can't believe this hybrid style boat is this dry. He's like, I didn't even get drop on the windshield.
Wow.
Like barely. It was that westerly that comes in choppy, and he's like, boat red and great. He was getting over 2 miles per gallon, going 35, 40 miles an hour. So he's getting everywhere faster, still good fuel economy and staying dry and having this amazing platform to do it on.
Wow.
So he was really fired up, and that's going to help a lot. Just having his input has been really nice to have. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I mean, I think I'd say one and two on the West Coast, Parker being one, Camus probably getting up there as well. I mean, it's almost like a one-stop shop for you with Yamaha in there as well.
Yeah. They play nicely together. Parker's a different thing than the Camus, so they're not competing brands really at all.
Right.
And I was just trying to go after the kind of the saltwater bass guys, the guys who are going to the island for yellowtail or sea bass and calicos. And that was just like, I don't see there being a better platform, you know, and I've seen the Robalos out there, they're doing those hybrid boats and they're just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then Camus building them. I just think they're really neat boats and they're really fun to fish on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like Camus it's the center console style that has a little bit of luxury. It's super spacious. Yeah. You can fit, you know, however many people on there. And overall, it's just a good boat. And you're absolutely right, where Parker's kind of a different, obviously a different brand, but different model to where, you know, you have your cabin there to stay dry in it and, you know, almost completely different use there.
Yeah. And there's a place for both of them. So if you're going offshore, I get it. Like, I had a 2520 Parker, and it was maybe one of my favorite boats that I've had over the years. I've had been through quite a few. And that was my favorite fishing platform.
Yeah.
Was the 2520. I I would have taken a 28-20, but I had a 25-20, and that was just, that was the best, just to go out, be dry. When you're coming back in, close the door, turn the music up, and then you're out of the sun and wind. Mm-hmm. And that just saves, like, you just come in feeling better and have energy to clean the boat, clean the fish, or do whatever.
And dry.
It does make a big difference. And dry, yeah.
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 Where's the limit as far as it putting in on a trailer? Is it that 26-foot model that is...
I was just thinking about that, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, just, you know, we'll get to the 18 center console in a minute, but towing that 18, it's like, A, it's super, I mean, it tows great and all that stuff, but I can't even imagine a 26-footer back there.
Yeah, obviously you need a different truck or bigger equipment to tow those big boats. I think California, the state, they have requirements for width and length, and the 25 is about that max towing, and then 28, you can get away with it. I believe you're supposed to have some kind of permit or something like that, like the guys with the RVs have. I can't remember what that is, but there is some permit that you might get for a 28-20.
So you can tow it, you just need a special permit.
I think so. Again, between us, I don't think most people do.
Yeah.
But it's just a big boat. It's heavy.
Wow. It's unbelievable just seeing a brand new model that's... Camus is... Are they relatively new to the West Coast? Or
yeah, we're the first dealer on the West Coast.
Oh, so they are new.
Yeah, so there's a dealer in Phoenix, Complete Marine. They carry their bass boats, their freshwater side. And then we're the first ones with salt and fresh on the West Coast.
Huh.
And I don't think there's another one yet. They've been looking up north in like the Sacramento area to put one. But yeah, we're the first ones to bring them out.
Nice.
Which was kind of something I wanted to do and just... work hard and give it a shot.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Since you've outfitted Benny with the new Camus, have you noticed other people kind of getting on board and saying, oh, you know what, I think this is something more up my alley?
Yes, for sure. Just whatever Benny does, a lot of people like to follow. And it's helped tremendously just get the word out. And then it's going to help a lot getting people on the boat. You know, so many people are booking charters with him as it is anyways. And then you just get people on the boat constantly. Like, he's running a tremendous amount of days.
Yeah.
And so just having him trailer it, be at the boat ramp every day, taking people out, getting him on the boat and seeing if they like it. And people are booking it just to go for a ride to see how it rides and if they want to make a change at all.
Yeah. Just joy rides with Benny.
Yeah.
No fishing allowed, just joy rides.
Just joy rides.
Well, let's talk a little bit about services here. West Coast Marine, obviously, you know, Parker and Yamaha dealership and now Camus as well. What kind of services do you offer, like, you know, as far as maintenance and preventative maintenance and all that stuff?
So my favorite thing to do is repowers. Obviously, I love taking old engines off and putting new ones on.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of that. And then we have bottom paint in the back. So we pull boats off trailers. We can bottom paint them there. Detailing, fiberglass, gel coat. We can get mainly just about anything done that you would need on the boat.
Bait tanks?
Bait tank installs, electronics installs. So anytime, what's kind of unique is anytime we're rigging like a Parker, so I order those pretty bare with no electronics from the factory because those things change so much.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of has their idea of what they want and how they want it rigged and where they want it put on the boat. So like my friend of mine, Kyle, who works in sales, he's really good at taking that phone call, if it's a 28-20, and saying, okay, let's start with the price of the boat and then just tell me about how you want to use it. What do you envision yourself doing? What kind of things do you like? What electronics do you like? Are you a Simrad guy? Are you a Garmin guy? Furuno? Do you want the FLIR? Do you want the radar, the autopilot, all those kinds of things? Bait tanks. Narrows it down to what that customer wants and then builds out a price of that boat with all those add-ons. So the relationship you get with the customer becomes like a long-term relationship in building this specific boat that you want. Mm-hmm. So every Parker comes out pretty custom to whatever that customer wants, which is pretty unique, I think. Maybe it may be only the only one who is actually really doing that hand-holding and like really getting intricate with what the customer wants on their boat.
it's almost like a long-term relationship to where it's like you're going to, you ordered the bare model, but then you're going to work with the customer on exactly what they want and need in their boat. And it just makes it, makes life a hell of a lot easier on their end.
Yeah. And I think it can be fun. Yeah. You know, if you're spending that kind of money to get a new boat, you want it exactly how you want it. And I think it's perfect. And that's how it should be. So mm-hmm. if you want 17 rocket launchers on there, let's get one made. If you want a half tower on there, let's get one made, you know? Yeah. And so there's great, we have a great community of vendors around us. Like the bait tanks, we have a guy that builds them for us. We have them in stock, like Tony at Fishing Boats Unlimited. He's building our towers. He's right around the corner. And so I get to talk to those guys, and I really like all of those guys, and they're fun to work with. So it makes it a fun experience.
Nice. I like it, man. I like it. Well, you know, we've gone down the road of working together and all that, you know, with this Star Tournament. And because of West Coast Marine and you, Nick, we have an 18SC, the yep. center console from Parker from West Coast Marine
yep.
as our grand prize. As the I guess the dealership or whatnot, tell us a little bit about the boat and things that, you know, I probably wouldn't even mention.
Yeah, I think one thing that stood out, I was on an 18 2 days ago trying to sell one, and one thing I noticed that I liked about the 18 that you have is when Yamaha sent out that motor for the 150,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the correct motor to put on it. That was kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that boat's... It's wider. It's yeah. a huge 18.
How much wider is it?
I think it's 4 inches wider.
4 inches. Okay.
Is it 8'8"? Yeah. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't quite remember, but it's wider, and then it's 18.6 long, and it just feels like you can walk around that center console straight instead mm-hmm. of kind of turning sideways.
Yeah.
And it's just a big platform, and you can get that, that boat, you can get it with a T-top or not. The boat you guys have does not have a T-top, which is my favorite thing, because T-tops that factories build are kind of one size fits all.
Oh, I see.
And they're just enormous, huge, like umbrellas up there. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to cast around those. And so I've ordered a few of those boats with no T-tops, and those get a lot of looks.
Nice.
It's a really, really neat boat.
I mean, like I said, towing it around Southern California for these shows and just looking at it and having it in our booth at all these shows and everything, it's just bitching to look at. It's just a sweet platform, and I know, Tony, you've been on it plenty of times, and it's just overall a great-looking boat.
Yeah. The hull design's new, too, so it's a brand-new hull. They built a new mold for it. Mm-hmm. The stringer system's, like, all composite now, so everything's computer-generated, which allows them to produce more efficiently with those. It creates a stronger boat. They're not using wood anymore in the transom, Kusa board, and I think the changes that Parker's making are... They're going the right direction and coming up to, like, you know, the 2020s that most manufacturers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just allows them to produce boats more efficiently. And I think it really works well.
Well, is it? It's one of the only models in the West Coast, right? The new model?
So the 18 and the 2420 have the new hull, new stringers.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then the 23, 25, 28 are the same as everybody knows. Seeing them out there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the range that someone can expect from that boat?
I just did some calculations the other day because I had a feeling you were going to ask me. That fuel tank is 40 gallons. So the old 18 was also 40 gallons. And mm-hmm. I was asking Parker's, like, can you put 10 more in there? But I think due to space and all underneath that deck, they could only get a 40 gallon bait tank in there. But I haven't seen it yet, but I'm seeing like four and a half miles per gallon. So at that,
with the 150?
With the 150. So if you can go 160 miles on an 18-foot boat, I feel like you're getting there and back wherever you would really want to go on an 18.
Comfortably, yeah.
Right?
So no trips to Tanner, but the islands.
Oh,
fuel bladders work. Yeah. You
can full send to the islands.
Yeah, so I think it's sufficient enough for mm-hmm. going to Catalina from kind of up north here, I guess, would probably work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we certainly value our partnership with the Star Tournament, bringing this brand new prize for, you know, our brand new tournament. We really can't thank you guys enough over at West Coast Marine, for sure.
I'm glad it worked out. I had met Wayne maybe a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard of him and everything, and then
who hasn't?
He just, yeah, right. He just, I think he just walked in the door last summer, and he's like, "Hey, what do you think about this? We need a boat." I was like, "Absolutely, let's do it." It's an easy decision. It's an mm-hmm. easy yes for me. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how it happened. He's like, "Great, just get one." Like, yeah. Perfect.
Easy enough.
Yeah, and then you guys talked to Yamaha, and they sent out a motor, and yeah, that worked out really well.
Yeah, it was a great partnership all around, and you know, I think the true winner is going to be the winner of this boat. Where yeah. you know,
for sure,
for a $40 entry fee, they're getting a brand new freaking boat.
Yeah,
every time I've walked around on top when we're getting it ready at the shows and kind of getting the trailer set up, every time I'm on that thing, I'm like, man. Some lucky person is going to get this boat with the trailer. They're set up. They're ready to go. It already looks like it's going to be an awesome boat yeah. to have out there.
Some lucky person other than us.
Other than us. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's going to be a good, great deal. I know we're working on the final details now, but hopefully we're going to all go up to West Coast for the official awarding ceremony or whatnot that we do. And it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think we talked about that for September.
Yeah, September. When the tournament ends September 2nd, and maybe a week or two after that, we'll call everyone up and basically just get the band back together and one last time and award this boat. It's going to be awesome.
I think it'd be really fun to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not going to be your first event that at West Coast. I know you guys did the kicker viewing party a couple months ago and all that. It seemed to work out really, really well for you guys.
Yeah, we did. One of the things I was, along with picking about another line and creating a lot of work for myself, was trying to build like a good community
yeah.
of people and get the people that we want to surround ourselves with that are making good products or just good fishermen or fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the kicker guys made the Untamed Shallows little movie edit,
mm-hmm.
they were searching for a location to do it. And I think Kyle, again, who's in sales, was saying like, hey, let's just do it here. Let's move all the boats out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring in chairs. And I was like, yeah, let's, you know, we'll bring in like a burger truck and we'll get all that stuff going. We'll have AFCO came in and had gear,
mm-hmm.
War baits, and electric sunglasses. And it was just this really cool, small community of people. And I thought it was going to be smaller than it was. I was like trying to ask the guys, like, how many guys do you think are coming? And they're like, I don't know, maybe like 100, something like that. I was like, oh, geez, 100 people here. And I was like, okay, yeah. Trying to think about it, like, how many burgers do we get? I don't know. Yeah. And I think we had about 160
wow.
show up. And it was hilarious watching the movie. It's really good and mm-hmm. well done, and I loved it. But everybody sat down for the movie
yeah.
and was just into it.
That's cool.
And like any time like a bait was coming back from the kelp or something, they had these cool underwater shots. And mm-hmm. then like a calico would come up and everybody would just scream like, oh my God. You know?
Stoke was high.
Yeah, yeah, really high. It was really fun to see. And I want to just keep doing those things. I think some of that's gotten lost over the years. And I don't want to just be just another big dealer just right. trying to sell boats. I want people to hang out. Have those fun get-togethers, like keep the stoke alive, and I think that's maybe somewhat of what's missing, and I think there's room for creating more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of one of my goals.
So you're gonna have some more community events, hopefully coming soon.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I have a lot of inventory at the shop right now, so I'd have to move a couple of units to gain some space back. But yes, it's definitely something that I think everybody really enjoyed.
I gotta ask, you must be like the master of like a game of Tetris, just with moving of boats all the way around, fitting everything in into tight spaces and all that. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm very good. with a forklift and a trailer and a boat, I can move it just about anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you do one thing long enough and you get good at it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Tony, we should probably put this on the calendar. Maybe we do an event at West Coast, just like a seminar or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we've been talking about it already, like a before summer seminar or something like that, getting Benny over there,
mm-hmm.
Putting his boat there, having a little seminar, doing kind of a similar thing. If we can get a couple vendors to hang out and do something like that, would be really fun.
Yeah, Benny's seminar would be cool.
It's a great tie-in.
Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's an easy one. So anything you guys want to do, just let me know and I'll start moving stuff around.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone's in, what is it, Newport, Costa Mesa, mm-hmm. like that border, if you just walk in, I walked in there for the first time last week, and the first thing I noticed is that giant kicker wall on the left. And I told Chris, I'm like, Chris, you didn't tell me there's a giant kicker wall here. This thing is dope.
Oh, yeah.
Add
yeah.
some color to that little showroom.
A lot of color.
Yeah, we did. So last year, I took on a lot of projects, and we had a little a door to enter the shop. It was a single door. Mm-hmm. Finally put in a double door, was able to put some inflatables that we sell inside. And then I kept trying to rearrange it and make it more showroom and enjoyable. And then having the kicker wall was killer just for mm-hmm. the color. And people, they're walking in all the time to pay their bill on the service or ask questions or buy parts. And they just, you know, start looking at stuff and grab something from that wall. It's mm-hmm. kind of, it's fun.
Nice.
So do you service a lot? I know we talked a lot about Parker and Camus and, you know, they're heavily saltwater boats. But do you see, because you were talking about bottom paint earlier, just to go back to that, because I had a question and I forgot it and it just came back to me. So there's an invasive species of mussels out here, quagga mussels. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not from here, but they're here. So do you often come across boats if you're doing bottom paint for, you know, freshwater boats? Do you see remnants of those mussels or deal with them in some capacity on those boats?
We don't, because mainly the boats we're bottom painting are from the bay. Mm-hmm. So stuff doesn't come to us from like inland waterways to get bottom painted. So I don't see many or at all any quagga mussels coming from lakes or anything like that we have to tug off. It's more saltwater growth stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you guys had any freshwater boats that come in your way at all.
No, I can't think of one that came in for bottom paint from freshwater side. Hmm. Yeah. It's all saltwater stuff.
Gotcha.
But that grows. There's stuff that grows on those boats pretty fast too.
That's a whole nother market. So you do service on freshwater boats too as well.
Yeah, so with Camus, they have a freshwater bass boat line, mm-hmm. which are killer bass boats, and they're making a push out west. The factory's in Tennessee, so they're pretty popular in Tennessee, Missouri, and mm-hmm. those states. And then coming out west, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll try to pick up a couple and see how that goes. And I do love going fast. I have a built a little ski race boat that I've had for many years. And then going fast and fishing is a really fun thing too. And so I get it. And with that, I was trying to, because I'm not known for any kind of bass boat world, but same kind of systems, boat, motor, pumps. And they're really fun. And with that, trying to build that side, because that market's really hard to get into. I had a guy, David Valdivia, who does the Toyota Series MLF and some Juan Bass tournaments. And he picked up one of those boats and is fishing that in those tournaments. And what's really neat about that side is they have incentive programs on the bass side, huge incentive programs. So, you know, if you drive a Toyota Tundra, you can get money from that. If you're driving a Yamaha motor, you can get money if you do well with that, having that motor, so forth and so on. And then Camus, what's neat is they're not out west right now. So he picked one up. And if you finish first place, Camus cash is 10 grand if you finish first.
Oh, holy smokes.
And then if you finish in the just top finishing in a Camus, you could get 20th. But if you're the first Camus in that, you get, I think it's $2,500. So they have all these incentive programs. So David went up to Clear Lake for MLF Toyota Series a couple weeks ago. It was right during PCS. I think he finished, he's a great fisherman too, but he qualified for the last day, top 25, finished 8th, and he made all these incentive programs, which can help pay him for his next entry fee and help him get there and lodging and all that.
Huh.
So that's kind of neat on the incentive side. And having a Camus, it's a great boat, but then there's not many out here.
Yeah.
So if you're in one and you're fishing tournaments, you have a good chance to win some money.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bass world is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've heard.
There's so much money in the bass world. Oh. It's insane.
Yeah, I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Well, Bassmaster Classic's going on this week, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone's out there except us.
Yeah, see, Yeah. But let's get some CCA California representation over there.
Oh, man. Well, Nick, let's talk a little bit about fishing before we go. What's your favorite type of fishing? What do you do typically throughout the year whenever you do have time to go out fishing?
Aside from going fast.
Yeah.
Probably favorite right now would be just spotties in the bay.
Okay.
I have to say, I found my love again for it, and fishing with, and the reason why is just taking the kids out. Mm-hmm. I think that's my main enjoyment at the moment. So just getting out on a small boat and fishing locally in Newport and watching, like, I took my 3-year-old for the first time a few weeks ago, and he has a little rod and he's fishing a little tube bait. And I was like, yeah, just thinking to myself, I was like, there's no way he's catching anything, you know? And I'm like, I'm just going to have crankbait, and I just want to, like, you know, get something.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like, fishing hard, trying, and then all of a sudden he's like, Dad, I got something. I was like, no, you didn't. And he's, like, pulling on it, trying to reel it as a 3-year-old, and he's like, I have something. I was like, no, it's, like, grass or something. And then I put my rod down, and I hold his, and I was like, oh, you do. You really do. I was like, well, keep going. And he caught his first little spotty.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah.
So that's awesome. That's just easy and fun. And
yeah,
I think getting them into it, I'm trying hard to make that fun for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? As you should.
But then obviously, I mean, I'd rather do like yellowtail and.
Yeah. 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 So you go fish for spotties like up in Newport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So just we'll take a little 13-foot whaler and we'll take that out, just drift the bay or something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Try that as much as I can.
I mean, that's got to be, like, at your point in life, it's, like, that's probably, like, the most rewarding, that's the most fun that you have as a father, just, you know, what teaching a kid how to fish.
Yeah, I just want to spend time with them.
Yeah.
While they still like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, and do that, because, you know, I have an 11, 9, and 3-year-old, and so the two older ones, they're getting older and talking about, you know, what do you want to do? Do you like fishing? Do you want to work on a motor? Or do you not? Or do you want to just totally do something else? And we're just having those conversations, and I'm trying to show them why I like it and why it works for me. But, you know, they don't have to, but I'm trying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's cool, man. Do you ever take them on sport boats or like half day trips or anything like that?
Never have. I've taken them. So over the years, I've had a lot of boats. So they've been on a lot of boats.
Yeah.
I've rebuilt a lot and changed out motors on a bunch of boats and been through a ton. And so with going through those, they've been on all kinds of stuff. From we fished the Bertram 28 that I redid, the Parker 25. I had a Grady White 30 Marlin that we would go spend nights on over at the island and fish and stuff like that. So they get out there on those boats.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you earlier, and I totally forgot until now. Do you ever venture off like to the inboard motors and all that stuff, like that kind of world?
Nope.
No interest?
No interest. Big diesels have always been an interest, but it's not in my wheelhouse. It's always been outboards.
So you're not gonna find a love for working on old Detroits or anything like that.
Nope. That ship has sailed. I can't go back and learn that stuff. And it's funny, over the years watching the outboard market get to where it's at. I mean, if you look at a graph, like inboard stuff, especially gas, has just completely fallen off, and it's all outboards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just makes so much sense.
What do you see for the future in that? Because obviously right now, like with the big bluefin going on right now off of the off of Southern California and relatively super close by and all that. But, you know, if there's, you know, God forbid the bluefin go away for years and years and years, what do you see as the future for like outboard, I guess, center console or Parker and all that stuff?
I think the boats are getting more efficient. So even with that 2420, that new Parker, that hull is more efficient. So I think the engineering and tooling that's going into new boats is creating more efficient platforms, along with having larger horsepower engines. So I don't know if we've seen a ceiling on outboard power plants, like the Merc 600, like, oh my God. Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable where they're going. Yamaha's coming out with a new 350, and all their V6s, they just keep getting bigger, and the boats keep getting bigger. And it's hard for me to guess where it goes. I know Yamaha just came out with a hydrogen motor. They took their V8 power plant and threw some hydrogen at it and had that work. So maybe getting more efficient on that, maybe adding electric motors to that.
Can you explain a hydrogen motor? What is that? I don't know what that is.
I'm going to do a bad job, but I'll keep it simple.
You can dumb it down.
they have these compressed tanks of hydrogen in the hull of the boat. So Yamaha and Regulator just did a joint deal for one of the East Coast boat shows, I think. And they put, I don't know, 3 or 4 hydrogen tanks of, you know, compressed hydrogen in there. And then it's just different hoses, and it basically works the same. Huh. So it's an internal combustion engine, but it's just putting hydrogen in there. So, yeah, they probably changed the style of hoses and everything, like fittings that go in there because it's high pressure, but or higher pressure. But it's essentially an internal combustion motor.
Huh.
So that's pretty neat. You know, I don't know how soon we'll see any of that. But on the smaller side, we are seeing electric. Mercury has their Avator motor or something like that. That's equivalent of a 2.5 to like a 9 horsepower. I think Yamaha just bought Torquedo. Torquedo is that little electric motor. So I imagine they'll be putting some R&D into building those small electric motors, which mm-hmm. sound really interesting. You don't have to carry around gas and carry around a big battery and do that. So we're seeing electric come into play more.
Do you ever see like an electric model for like, say, a 150 or even a 250 motor?
An electric model for that size?
Yeah, like are we still like decades away from that?
I think we're still, I don't know how far, but still a long ways away from like the bigger horsepower electric,
mm-hmm.
because I don't see how you sustain that power on those bigger boats. Like that's a huge battery bank.
Yeah.
And then batteries keep changing all the time too. So now the hot, like it's lithium, but then it's, you know, now they're talking about nickel and different metals for batteries. So I have no idea where that goes, but batteries keep getting better. They keep changing materials. Maybe it's like a hybrid version where you use electric power to like, you know, spool up the motor and get on a plane
mm-hmm.
With gas, and then it switches over to electric, something like that I could see.
Hmm.
But I have no idea. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating where it's going.
Yeah.
It almost seems like an oxymoron to have an electric motor on a
right?
on a saltwater boat.
Yeah.
Or on any boat for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no idea where it goes.
Do you ever, one last one for me, do you ever get like special random requests from, you know, either purchasers or even current customers to where, hey, I want this installed or I want that or whatnot? Like, is West Coast Marine like pretty much open to almost any modification on boats, or have you gotten any like really random requests?
Random requests?
Yeah.
No, it's been pretty straightforward. You know, just adding battery systems is a big one because everybody keeps adding more stuff. Requests for maybe the Seakeeper stuff is getting really popular.
Mm.
Trolling motors on bigger boats is getting popular. So you'll see like a 23 or the 24, even 25, you know, throwing trolling motors on those. Nobody wants to anchor anymore, which I get because trolling motors are way more fun.
Yeah.
So I think larger boats with trolling motors is one of the more unique things we've been doing that hasn't been so popular over the last 15 years.
So nothing like super silly, like I need a cup holder in this leak.
Oh, sure. Cup holders. Yeah, it can go anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird sound systems we've done now, like the Bluetooth stuff's kind of interesting with speakers. And I just rigged a 13-foot inflatable with this like crazy high-powered through-hole transducer and a Garmin screen on a 13-foot inflatable.
No kidding.
That was pretty interesting.
What?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I just had to move a lot of things around in the console and pack a lot of cables in there and run wires. But yeah, a little 13-foot boat with, it's like set up like a 23 Parker would be. That's just fun. I love doing that.
Yeah.
I'd just go for it.
Huh.
Why not?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No limitation.
Yeah.
Zero limitation.
Yeah. The sky is the limit.
Yeah. And all that stuff's so fun. Electronics these days are just, they're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I know like Furuno has a model of like side scan or whatnot, but do you see more of that becoming popular in those kind of boats or request for them?
Yeah. On the bass boat side, obviously 2D side scan and then forward facing sonar is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And figuring that out is really fun. I've seen Hummingbird, I forget what they call it, they're forward facing. I've seen Lowrance and Garmin, and they all do they all do pretty well. Garmin screens are really good, so you can really differentiate different things with their panoptics. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun stuff. We'll see how the tournament series takes it in the next few years. But and then forward face, like people ask like forward facing on like saltwater boats and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in saltwater. I don't know how well that sonar penetrates saltwater, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that can tell us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of, it's almost like there's no limitation on what you can go out and get for a customer in terms of electronics, whether it's, you know, they believe in Simrad or they believe in Lowrance or Garmin or whatnot, or even have the best of all, you know, best of both worlds with three different units doing three different things or whatnot.
Yeah. And that's becoming more popular.
Yeah.
And I like it all. So I'm, mm-hmm. I'm open. I love the project. I like building boats a lot. And that's one of my most favorite thing, I think, is just project managing what somebody wants. And then, okay, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Let's figure that out. So that's what I've been spending like this week. I just spent a tremendous amount of time. I think we had like 6 or 7 repowers going on and then adding different things. It's like, okay, well, how do we get all this done? What's the plan? Mm-hmm. And then I like to implement it and then just get it going.
I have to ask, how intricate or how difficult is the job of actually performing a repower? Like, is it plug and play, just swapping out motors, or is it really just, you know, installing new controls that are connected to a brand new engine or whatnot?
A lot of it is, so with the new controls and gauges, the dashes can be different now. So a lot of manufacturers had, you know, a nice dash with all the gauges in there. Mm-hmm. And we were using more gauges in the past. Like a twin engine boat might have 4 gauges from 2008 or something like that. Now it's like a 1 gauge does it all. So the dash becomes different. So then it's, okay, does the customer want to just free fiberglass and gel coat the dash? Because that can be very expensive.
Yeah.
Or do we just need to make a plate, like a starboard plastic backing plate, and make one of those and then put a new hole in there and put a single gauge in there? So a lot of it is just changing things on the dash, moving switches around. The controls are smaller, so you can put another plate there or have it fiberglass and gel coated over. Mm-hmm. So it can get labor intensive just to make those little tweaks.
Yeah.
And we can do either or, fiberglass and gel coat, or just make new plates. Most opt for making new plates, and we can, you know, make them look really good. And then the other thing is just, it's gotten simpler too, because it's electric stuff now. So you don't have as many cables going back and forth. Mm-hmm. The shift and throttle cables come out. A lot of the hydraulic lines are coming out because things are going electric, which is kind of fun, because then you're not, you know, have all this equipment underneath the deck and coming out of the splash well at the transom to plug in the engines. It becomes cleaner, a lot more clean. And I think it just looks nicer. And that's like a basic repower. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it, especially when you're adding, you know, they keep coming out with Yamaha Helmmaster, joysticks, autopilot. And that becomes more computers and a couple more cables. So, again, it's just figuring out what the customer wants and then just putting it all together. So, I mean, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's not like I've done it so much that I, you know.
Yeah,
you enjoy it. It doesn't seem hard, you know, but it's just time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can literally go on and on and on and ask you a whole bunch of questions, but I'll save it for next time.
Sure.
Tony, do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
Been fascinating.
No, it is. And, like, I keep thinking back to all the experience I've had on boats, and it's never been with outboard.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. It's only been inboards on deltas, on aluminum cats, on the sport boats down here, you know, climbing on top of engines with, you know, all your tools to try and dismantle everything and take it out of the engine room. So talking about outboard stuff is so foreign and new to me. Like, I can't visualize it the way I can the engine room of our boats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's same thing with me, because I've only ever owned boats that have Detroit 8. I think I had 871s in one and 892s in the other. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, where it's like a whole different ballgame from an outboard. Outboard seems far more simpler, too.
It's pretty simple. It's just a lot packed in a small package, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's similar stuff. Just fuel, spark, and then go.
Yeah.
But I'm also not like a mechanically minded person either. Like, a lot of things don't come intuitively to me. Like, it takes me a little bit to like learn and then once I have that process, I'm like, okay, now I get it. Now I have to do it. Yeah. Like Chad, for example, he can hear, you know, certain tones.
He's a whole other level.
He gets it. He's mechanically inclined. I'm not so much. I can be taught, but
again, if you do one thing long enough, you get used to it.
Well, Nick, this has been fascinating, man. Thank you so much for coming down, being on the podcast for the grand prize for Star Tournament.
Yep,
I mean, really you're fun. A huge, huge supporter of CCA.
I am.
Yeah.
We need you guys.
Yep. Well, Nick, before we let you go, how do we get our hands on a Parker or a Camus? How do we get in contact with you? And if one of us is interested in buying a boat, how do we contact you?
I'd say if you're in the area, definitely come by the shop and check them out. There's what's nice now is we have inventory to kind of narrow down what you want. So basically every model lineup is there from the Parker side.
Mm-hmm.
So the showroom is looking really great, and you can kind of just tinker around and check out all the boats and feel free to come on them anytime. Instagram's going well, so you can check out anything new or look at a video on how a boat's riding on that. Kyle's been instrumental in making that better. Our website, I've been trying to be better about posting what we have for sale on the website. You can call the shop, 949-515-2822. You can talk to me, Nick, or Kyle, and we can help you out, try to figure out what you guys need.
Nice. Anything new and exciting coming up for 2024 that we need to be aware about?
No, I hope not. I think we covered that. No, just trying to get through 2024. Hopefully we'll have another really good summer, and I think we will.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Nick, thanks again, man. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Tony, as we mentioned, fascinating episode, learning about boats and outboards and all good stuff.
All good stuff. Thanks, Nick, again for this awesome opportunity for you to come down, chat with us, and, of course, the boat for Star, which is totally new for us this year. So we're all super excited to have you guys on board, and we thank you for your support.
Yep, I hope it goes really well.
Yeah, we'll have to bring you back right before we give away this boat, too.
Be happy to.
For sure. Well, guys, that is going to do it for this week on the CCA California podcast. Make sure to go follow us on Instagram at CCA California. Also, go follow our Star account for more updates on this boat at CCA Cal Star. Tony, another fascinating episode. And looking forward to next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
yep, for sure. And with that, we will see you guys next week. Take care.